I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Stephen Miller joins me again. The actor and author has just received the Sam Payne Lifetime Achievement Award from the Union of British Columbia Performers, which is an autonomous branch of ACTRA. Mr. Miller has appeared in a long list of films and television shows that have been shot here in British Columbia, chief among them Da Vinci's Inquest, Da Vinci City Hall, So Weird, Cold Squad, Danger Bay, The X-Files, Millennium, 21 Jump Street, and many, many more. He won a Leo and was nominated three times for the Gemini for his role as Zach McNabb on the Da Vinci programs. He was born in Durham, North Carolina, attended the Virginia Military Institute. He earned degrees at the University of British Columbia, where he became interested in the theater. He helped found Tamanos Theater. He was last on this program 4 years ago when his novel The Messenger was published. His website is at stephenmillerwriter.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program on Denman Island this morning, Stephen Miller. Mr. Miller, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. It's nice to be back on the show.
Yeah, you know, first of all, congratulations on this award.
You're very welcome. It was really quite touching, actually. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the award in just a sec, but I wanted to note, because you were on the program, when was The Messenger released? It was 2012, wasn't it?
2012, yeah. I'm not sure of the month. I think maybe the middle of the year. Sometime.
Yeah, and so you were the first guest after 8 years of doing this at the time that came in person to do an interview, and so I'll always remember that. So
well, I'll come in person again. I had a good time.
Yeah. So did you know Sam Payne?
Yes, I did. You know, I was a student out of UBC, and in those days, the way the theater worked out there, the Freddie Wood Theater, was they hired a lot of professional actors, and the idea was, you know, for the students, by watching the professional actors, you know, it would kind of rub off on you. And Sam was one of the pros that was brought in quite often, and so I was just hanging out there a lot. I wasn't really in the theater department. I was just a kind of like a volunteer, you know, intern type person. And loved every minute of it. And Sam was out there, and he was a great guy. He was really, really, really a sweet, sweet man. And I'm very glad I knew him. And, you know, because now there's a lot of people who don't. You know, the time has gone on, and this new generation doesn't really, he's passed away, and people don't know him. But he was a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really happy to have his name sort of attached to mine. It's great.
Yeah, and I talked to Garwin Sanford, who received the Sam Payne Award this year alongside you. You received the Lifetime Achievement Award. He received the Sam Payne Award.
And yeah, he's younger.
and he talked to me earlier this week about the people who've received this award before him. And I'm sure you've worked with all those folks yourself.
A lot of them. A whole lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, and it must be cool after, you know, I mean, the career's not over yet, but I mean, after many years in this community, to be recognized by your peers like that.
It's, you know, the thing is, this is the first time I've ever gotten anything like a Lifetime Achievement Award, you know, and it makes you think about your life and what you've achieved or haven't, you know, and where you are in your life, and it's a little, it throws you a little bit. And I have worked with a whole lot of the people that have, I think maybe all of the people who won the award in one way or another. It's really quite touching to be recognized by your peers, and you know, and you kind of get this feeling like, wow, they really did like me, and they thought I could do something, you know. And I don't have anything bad to say about that. The experience at all. It was really, really cool. So
what is this? Yeah, pardon me.
And Garwin really deserves it. You know, Garwin has, you know, like, when I say you start thinking about your life and what you've done, well, you know, like in my mind, I was thinking, well, gosh, I haven't really done anything. But Garwin has really given back. He's one of those people who's actually you know, paid it forward. He's been an educator and a really involved guy right from the get go. So I was quite happy to be included with him too. That was nice.
And so when you do this thinking about your life, your career, when you get an award like this, well, I mean, looking back at it all, I mean, it's been fun, it's been rewarding. I mean, it's all those good things, isn't it?
It is. You know, it has been a lot of fun. It's been very rewarding. And in my case, it was completely unexpected. I mean, I didn't set out to become an actor. I just sort of ended up in the right place at the right time, and you know, just fell into it. And I loved it. I never ever thought I would be in a movie. I never thought I'd be in a TV show or be a regular in a TV series or anything like that. And now I'm writing for a TV series, and I never ever anticipated any of that. So it's been a very happy kind of out of the blue experience over the last, you know, 45 years. I learned a lot. I always learned a lot. I learned about how to go to work. You know, I learned a work ethic by being in theater and movies and TV. I learned how to be a sort of a concentrated person. You know, and I learned how to give, and I learned how to collaborate and all that. And I don't know that I would have learned those lessons if I hadn't done it. And film and TV, I mean, acting is a great way to learn about yourself. And then you also learn about other people. You learn how human beings function and what causes them to behave the way they do. And that's also a very introspective experience. So I've gotten much more out of it than I've given back. And so, you know, I don't have any complaints. It's been a great life for me so far.
So, you know, it's interesting, Steve, because I'm not an actor and I've never performed. But so I always thought that when you're trying to be someone else, you're working at that and trying to perfect that, if you will. And what you just said is fascinating, that you learn more about yourself.
Oh yeah, because you go into your own, you know, fuel tank to you know, like, let's say you've got to be happy, or you've got to cry, or you've got to, like, be afraid. Well, you even if you're not a actor who's trained in method acting, you know, you end up sort of getting there, and you end up thinking about the sad times in your life or the happy times in your life, and you end up going back to those places, and you end up asking your questions, well, you know, if I was this character, how would I act at this moment if it was really me? So you're always thinking partially about yourself, you know. Huh. So it's great.
When you were in North Carolina growing up, you never thought of performing at all as a kid, say?
Well, I there was not a lot of theater there at all. The only play I think I saw some plays that were, you know, when I was in grade school, you know, people would come and do little plays for kids and stuff in the school, and I saw a couple of those. And I was in my high school play in a very small part, and I painted sets and stuff for the high school play the year before. But I was not a very extroverted person in high school. I was very shy and really didn't think anybody liked me, you know. I always thought about it. I think everybody thinks, oh, gosh, I'd like to be a movie star or something like that, but you know, that's like saying I'd like to be an astronaut. You know, mm-hmm. you might think about it, but it certainly wasn't something I planned.
Yeah, and so I guess you had come to UBC to study creative writing, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I guess you just fell into the theater, say you were volunteering as a carpenter. I mean, I read this somewhere, a carpenter and other sort of attendant things around the show, right?
Yeah, the way it actually worked was at UBC in the creative writing department at that time, and it might be the same way now, you couldn't be just one thing. You couldn't take just, say, poetry. You had to take poetry and one other field of writing. So in my case, I was a fiction writer, so I was doing fiction, and I didn't want to take any of the other things, and the only thing left was playwriting. And I thought, well, okay, I'll take playwriting, because maybe one day I might want to write something that actors have to read, and I need to know the jargon, and I need to know the format of plays. I knew it was different from just writing a novel. You know, I'd read a couple of plays and stuff, and been in those high school plays. So I knew that there was a different lingo to the whole thing. So I took that, and that ended up being basically workshops. You would go once a week and have a workshop. And a lot of the people from the theater department were over there because they were theater people who wanted to be playwrights. So there was a kind of a cross-pollination. And I started hanging out at the theater department. I had one course over there, which was a film appreciation course. It was a very simple kind of course. And I started hanging out, and I'm telling you, when I walked in there and saw my first play, it was like somebody just snapped on a switch. I've said this many, many times. That's exactly how it felt. It felt like, wow, I really want to do this. And I spent most of my time over the 2 years I was at UBC in Freddie Wood, or, you know, around that area of the campus, and hanging out with theater people. And it just changed my life.
Yeah, and do you remember what play that was?
Well, I remember I don't remember the first play I saw, yeah. I remember one of the first plays I saw, which was a play called Boy Meets Girl. And it was written by Sam and Bella Spiewak, who were these old Hollywood screenplay writers. And they had written some shows that went to Broadway. And Boy Meets Girl was about 30s Hollywood. And John Gray was in it, somebody who I knew by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very funny, and it was a really, really neat play. And I just went for it. So it was great.
So you came to Vancouver in the 70s, and when you look back at the last 45, 46 years of how this community has changed in terms of, I mean, I rattled off the top some of your credits, because there are more credits than we have time to mention. This place has changed a great deal, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's changed tremendously. I mean, I came up here in 68, not the fall of 68,
mm-hmm.
and there were almost no films or television shows being made in Vancouver at the time. There were every now and then somebody make a movie. The only professional theater was the Playhouse and UBC, and there was hardly any avant-garde theater or anything like that. There was pretty much only UBC as a theater school. There were no film schools at all. There was no film school at UBC, really. And all that has changed, and now there's a lot of theater. And the Playhouse is gone. We've gone from having almost no film and TV in Vancouver being produced. You know, at the time it was the Beachcombers. That was just about the only thing that was a regular show. Every now and then there'd be something else. We've gone from having almost nothing to many times being third in the world in terms of English language film and TV production. Now, if you had told me that when I showed up in Vancouver in 1968, I would have just laughed. And everybody I know would have just, you know, they would have said, "What are you smoking?" Because that's just not in the cards. And the city itself has grown to the place where, you know, nobody can afford to live in it anymore.
Right, yeah.
You know, so there have been gigantic changes in Vancouver.
And creatively, I mean, a lot of these productions that have come through town here have been great for for the performers here? And I mean, you've worked with people who've come from Hollywood and elsewhere, people that you watched growing up. You got to work with a lot of them folks, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose the biggest real movie star I ever worked with was Betty Davis. You know, that was pretty awesome. There have been a lot of movie stars who've come through. Another big change is, you know, back in the day, there were very few people who were producing, who would call themselves producers in town. Now there's a lot of producers, Canadian local producers. When I say young, I mean people in their 40s, who are, getting lots of projects off the ground and have tremendous track records that would have put to shame the veteran producers who were in Vancouver when I first got here. There's a lot of experience now. I was here when we had the third crew. Before there had only been enough technicians and people with experience and training to make up two film crews, two units. Then all of a sudden we needed a third crew, and everybody was just moving up in category and kind of learning on the job, and it was a heady, heady experience. Well, that was three productions. Now we've got like 50 productions in town, I think, right now.
Yeah.
It's been a big economy. And there is one thing. I'm sorry, I don't know about how much time we've got, but there's something I would like to correct.
Yeah.
You hear all this stuff about the tax breaks being given to a production, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like to just try to educate people about that a little bit. There isn't a tax, it's not a tax break or a subsidy. You quite often hear the word subsidy bandied about, as if there's money coming from the taxpayers, what you have to pay every year to these productions. That's not the way it works. If a production comes here, and depending on how they configure their production, if they shoot out in Langley, for example, they don't have to pay as much tax on the Canadian side of who they hire, right? If they hire Canadians, local people and stuff like that, and if they shoot outside of the town, that gives them an additional break on those taxes. And so there's no money going out. People have this, civilians, people that don't know the business, think that there's money going out. There isn't any money going out. If the productions don't come to Vancouver, there's no money coming in.
Yeah.
That's what it amounts to. So it's by no means a kind of a loss to the coffers of the province by having a production come in. In fact, it's a huge gain because everybody has to pay their income tax, and there's still taxes paid on all the non-Canadian component of their production. So. Why they would this present provincial government make noises about these subsidies and stuff befuddles me, because you've got a business that's into billions of dollars now.
Yeah.
And it's basically clean, it's not polluting, it's not fracking, it's not liquefied natural gas, it's not ruining the environment, and it spends money like crazy, and it's a great thing to have in your economy. So,
yeah.
I don't get it.
Did you see it, though, growing?
Yeah, I saw it growing tremendously. And we still have more to grow. Like right now, we don't have any studios. There was a period of time when it was like, oh, my God, we need to build a studio. And so they did. And now I don't know how many studio buildings we've got in Vancouver now. It's probably five or six. But we need more. We're out of studio space. We got to enlarge,
yeah.
Because people are still coming up here, and we've got the locations and we've got the talent and stuff like that. And so I just think it's going to keep on going as people get their heads together. The biggest problem in building the studios is the cost of the real estate.
Mm.
So,
Smarter
people than me are working on this problem.
Well, how often do you act today?
I acted earlier this year in a short film that Marie Clements did that was a sort of a kind of a docudrama about First Nations issues in the, I guess, 40s. Uh-huh. And I was playing the part of a newspaper editor who was instrumental in that struggle. And but other than that, I haven't acted very much in the last year or so because I've been writing on the Romeo section, CBC show, Chris Haddock's new show. And that's been wonderful. And so I don't miss acting. I like acting, but this is a great opportunity, and it's a, sort of a, you know, you don't get to write on the TV show very often, and so I thought I'd do that. So I've been sort of out of the loop for almost 2 years.
And but the Romeo section, the notices for that are tremendous. I mean, it's greatly received.
It's a really intriguing show, and the way Chris works, I think it's just going to get better and better and better. That's his work pattern. You know, he gets something up and then he just constantly improves it. And so I'm really excited about this season. We're already working on the fifth and sixth episode, and we have, you know, we start shooting, I guess, late beginning of July. And it's great. It's really wonderful. And I'm getting to write, which is something I love doing. Can't complain.
Yeah, and you get to write on Denman Island, and I can't think of a more beautiful place to do that.
No, it's really, really quite wonderful. And, I must have done something right in a previous life, but, I couldn't tell you what it was.
And you get a lot of time to garden, I guess. So everyone there in Denman gardens, I guess, right?
Before this phone call, I was out in the garden with Susie, and we were trying to cover a cherry tree to keep the birds from eating all the cherries. And that's proving to be maybe a project that we need, you know, a few thousand Egyptians and a pharaoh or two to help us accomplish. But it's the tree is just too big, so I don't know. If I could hire some birds to fly up there and, you know, help cover the tree, but...
Yeah. Well, it's great talking again, and congratulations on this award. It's well deserved, Steve.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate it, and like I say, I really do want to thank the people at UBCP and ACTRA for doing it. It was a really wonderful afternoon, and it was great to see old friends again, and everybody was really properly nice to me and simultaneously taking the piss out of me, so it was great.
Be well, Steve. Nice talking again.
Okay, nice talking to you, Jeff.
Stephen Miller joined me on the line from Denman Island, British Columbia, in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.